Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, and also host of this, the PW Torch Livecast. It is moments, not even moments, seconds after the completion of SmackDown Live, and not the most eventful show, I got to admit, but we will talk about it. We will talk about tonight's show and hopefully try to stay away from the devastating news for Minnesota Viking fans with the season-ending injury to Teddy Bridgewater and a freak incident at practice today. Ugh, I'm still just such a nice guy. And, you know, the Vikings fans thought this was going to be a good year. Everybody did. So, anyway, had to get that out of the way. It's tough. Fantasy draft, if you had one before today and you picked Teddy, it's bad. For you also, but not nearly as bad as for Teddy. All right, well, the show ended tonight, going to WWE here, with Dean Ambrose taking on Baron Corbin in the main event, AJ Styles on commentary, AJ saying that he is hoping that Baron Corbin softened up Dean Ambrose, and eventually AJ ended up interfering and getting Baron Corbin disqualified. It led to a big brawl between Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles, with AJ straddling the top rope for a very long time. I'm not quite sure how you crush your nuts on a top rope and stay balanced precariously on the top rope and don't fall over. But somehow AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, managed to do that. We'll be joined momentarily here by Pat McNeil and your phone calls. Give us a call, 646-721-9828. That is 646. Oh, I just gave out the old numbers. Forget that. The new numbers. Old habits die hard. 515-605-9345. Again, that's 515-605-9345. Pat McNeil joining me again this week after joining me on the first live show that I hosted following SmackDown 2 weeks ago. We'll get his take on tonight's show. We can also talk about last night's Raw 2 a little bit if you so desire. And also, tomorrow, Jim Valley joins me and we'll be talking about all the news of the week. And his he is a host of the Saturday Morning Wrestling edition of the PW Torch Livecast and has been involved in wrestling media coverage for a very long time, hosting the Attitude Era Total Chaos Radio Show, and Jim Valley and I can reminisce about a tag team that wrestled on SmackDown tonight, but probably should have been appearing on the Saturday Morning Nostalgia Show with Jim Valley, the Headbangers. That was just weird, seeing the Headbangers on the program. And when the announcers say they have been out, they haven't been inside a WWE ring for 16 years, are you trying to make us feel old? Let's see if that made Pat McNeil feel old. Pat, welcome to the program. Thanks for co-hosting today. Did that comment make you feel old, Pat?
Not particularly, but probably not as old as the Headbangers felt anyway.
Oof. Or tomorrow, I think they'll be feeling it. How active have they been on the indie? Yeah. How active have they been on the indie scene, Pat? The Headbangers. I mean, I've seen their names. I just don't know if I've seen them recently all that active.
It's been a couple of years, and probably if you remember them, you remember them that they had a run in Ring of Honor when Jim Cornette was booking. They were a masked team, and then I think they got to wrestle one or two matches as themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the thing is, you know, when you have a name and you're on the indie circuit, it helps if you look about the same as you did when you wrestled.
Yeah.
And honestly, they don't look that different.
That's true. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, wow. Between Mojo Rawley and the energy he brings, and really Zack Ryder too, both the Hype Brothers,
yeah,
Bros, and the Headbangers, I think I had my fill of just people yelling for no good reason. And you throw Dolph Ziggler into the mix, although he was better this week than usual. Mostly, though, the yelling for no good reason. Mojo Rawley and I don't know if it was Mosh or Thrasher who just started shrieking for no reason. I don't know. That also kind of made me feel old because I just wanted to tell them to turn the volume down. Be quiet. You're just being loud for no good reason. But I don't know, Pat. What's your takeaway from tonight's show? I would say it was among the weaker of the post-draft episodes of SmackDown from a news standpoint.
I think the words you're looking for are maintenance show.
yeah.
And really, And really, it's not, because they're trying to move forward towards towards their pay per view. Even though it's really a secondary sort of show, because you know their big pay per view is coming on the 25th. They set up what I guess will be the third biggest match on the show, which will be Dolph Ziggler and The Miz. And you know we've got teases of some other stuff that's happening. It just doesn't. It's one of those months that we had back during the brand split, the original brand split, where it felt like they're kind of they're going to be struggling to put together a full 3 hours, and that's not something you want.
I agree with that. The Miz Daniel Bryan or the Miz Daniel Bryan follow up, and then the segment with Dolph Ziggler. I guess I have praise for it. I mean, I was not sure how they were going to parlay a semi-shoot last week into something that would enhance Miz's character or build him up. I have mixed feelings, because I think at the end of what they did, Pat, they ended up with Miz pretty much in the same spot as before. I don't think this really changes anything for Miz. That said, I thought it was a good performance for this version of The Miz. I'm not quite sure how you can complain being a long-time, you know, roughly six-month Intercontinental Champion and be complaining about the belt not being taken seriously. I mean, it's sort of like Vince McMahon complaining, trying to change the term pro wrestling to sports entertainment, because pro wrestling has a bad rep. Well, Vince has been in control of pro wrestling for the most part for 15 years exclusively, and 30-some years he's been the dominant.
Okay, now that statement makes me feel old, actually.
Yeah. I think that Vince has been in control of the perception of pro wrestling. And nights like tonight, Pat, I don't know. I mean, we're jumping all over here, but I don't know if nights like tonight help change the perception of pro wrestling. We had the Trailer Park skit with Heath Slater and Rhino. We had and the wife Beulah, and then we also had the Milkman Milliman skit with Kane. This wasn't a show that I would not want someone to drop by the house and see it in the background while I'm watching it for work.
Yeah, well, this is very much a Vince show. I mean, the only thing missing from the Heath Slater segment was Hillbilly Jim wrestling his dog, and working out on the mat. I mean, this is Vince McMahon. He's embarrassed. He grew up being poor, and he's embarrassed of that. So let's make fun of poor people. And really, I don't know that 2016 is the year to be making fun of poor people. I mean, we've seen all sorts of stuff this year about how the gap between the rich and poor is wider than ever, blah, blah, blah. But, it didn't, and plus it didn't make, the fact that he's a WWE superstar for several years didn't make it seem all that glamorous, did it?
No, it did not. It did not. I think Ziggler made his case that, WWE... Yeah. Superstars, we all love our life, and Miz, you just want to be on the red carpet and be famous, and that's why fans don't like you. And then we see Heath Slater, years in the company, not exactly living a glamorous life. All right, we're going to take phone calls after our first break. CM Punk will begin to become a bigger part of the conversation here on the PW Torch livecast, and also all the other shows that we do on the PW Torch VIP side of things, including The Real Deal with Pat McNeil, now dropping midweek on PW Torch's VIP audio feed. And there's news on CM Punk even today, the evening news update that we put up. We do a daily, actually a nightly news digest over at MMATorch.com. Mike Hisko, longtime PW Torch reader and also MMA Torch reader, joined the team and has been contributing those news updates every night. And he's got an interesting story up on CM Punk that dropped during what is going on? Okay. Mike Hisko posted an interesting article on CM Punk. Some new footage emerged of CM Punk's training that might have changed some perceptions compared to what they've been showing on the documentary special they've been airing on Fox Sports 1. You can read all about that right now at MMATorch.com. We'll have news almost every day on CM Punk, probably every day. There'll be an editorial, a commentary, a news story, a quote from his opponent Mickey Gall, a preview and prediction from one of the MMA Torch staffers. If you're interested in CM Punk, the place to go is MMATorch.com. Here's details on our sister website, MMATorch.com. And when we're back after this, we'll take phone calls talking about SmackDown. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All right, we are back. This is the PW Torch Livecast. I host Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts and guests. Mondays, I am on live right after Monday Night Raw. Greg Parks joined me last night after Raw went off the air. Right after Raw went off the air, we were on the air. Well, actually, the closing credits were, or the closing scene was still on the air of Kevin Owens clutching his newly won championship belt. And we were live taking your phone calls. James Caldwell was in the building in Houston for Raw last night and called in about midway through the show to give his in-person perspective. So check that out if you haven't yet. Today, Pat McNeil, longtime Torch columnist for over 15 years, joins me to talk about SmackDown. Tomorrow, Jim Valley, host of Saturday Morning Wrestling here on the PW Torch Livecast lineup, has nostalgia guests every week. Bill Dundee last Saturday. He joins me tomorrow at 1 Eastern for the Midweek Flagship, where we cover not just a single topic or focus on a single topic like we do on Monday night and Tuesday nights. It's not an interview show. It's not the nostalgia show. We just try to hit on a lot of topics throughout the show, all the big news stories. We'll talk about CM Punk among them tomorrow. Join us at 1 Eastern or listen on demand at pwtorchlivecast.com. Thursday, good timing, Matt McCarthy, ex-WWE creative team member, a frequent guest on this show and host of his own podcast called We Watch Wrestling. He'll be joining me, one of my favorite guests on the live cast. The show goes so fast when he is on the program. A passionate fan, follows not just WWE closely, but a big fan of a whole wide array of wrestling programs. And you are going to want to listen live and participate by giving us a call. That show also starts 1 Eastern on Thursday. So again, Monday and Tuesday, right after we're on SmackDown, we're live. Wednesday and Thursday, 1 Eastern. And then Friday, we go prime time with Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant at 7 Eastern, and then 11:30 a.m. Eastern, Saturdays. It's Jim Valley's Saturday Morning Wrestling. All right, let's bring Pat McNeil back into the conversation and begin taking phone calls. 515-605-9345 is our new call-in number here at the PW Torch Livecast. Let's begin our phone calls with area code 727. Bring it on, 727. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Kerry from Orlando, Florida.
Hey, Kerry, thanks for calling. What have you got for us?
SmackDown was all right tonight. I was hoping it would bring up my mood after the Teddy Bridgewater injury. That is disappointing to hear,
yeah.
But go Vikings still. Anyways, Dolph Ziggler, like, he can't afford to lose to The Miz, right? But at the same time, The Miz can't afford to lose if they want to keep pushing him to be this big, bad intercontinental champion. Like, what's the best way that feud ends?
Pat McNeil, I'm going to throw to you on this one. What's the finish for this one? Pat, we're getting some interference on your phone. I'm going to hang up on you and have you call back. Maybe we'll get a better connection. I will answer that in the meantime as best I can. I think Dolph Ziggler can't afford to lose. Honestly, they moved him to the top last month. He did his thing. He was serviceable. He's a good worker. I thought they could have gone places with that storyline of him saying, I was trying to be the show-off, and now I've changed. But they didn't go there. And I don't know if they're continuing with that storyline at all or they've just decided to drop it completely. I didn't get any sense that Dolph Ziggler tonight was any different than the Dolph Ziggler of 2 months ago. And I really thought the Dean Ambrose feud or title match buildup going into SummerSlam was going to lead to a change in Dolph Ziggler. And he's out there in those stonewashed jeans. I mean, really? Stonewashed jeans in 2016? And you're a babyface? That's way older than the Headbangers. And it's even older than Rhino, with all due respect to Terry. So I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm still holding out hope that he loses to The Miz, and then that kind of causes him to freak out and go heel. I mean, that's about the only thing that I can think of that, because otherwise, I think it's time to just have Miz beat Dolph, excuse me, yeah, have Miz beat Dolph Ziggler. After what Miz did on Talking Smack last week and even tonight, he's a better performer all around than Dolph Ziggler. He doesn't have as good of matches in the athletic bump-taking sense. He's a better athlete than Miz, but Miz is serviceable in that way, above average in that way. You know, he's a good all-around worker, but he's even much better on promos and has a much better character. So I kind of think you're just going to see, see Miz go over. Maybe they'll turn it into a long-term feud, and do some sort of messy finish to extend it. That I'm not sure of. Kerry, if you had to pick a finish, you did create this dilemma. What would that finish be?
To bring Dolph Ziggler to, like, bring up people's interest in him, I agree that The Miz should win and Dolph should just flip out and turn heel. Yeah. It would bring people back to wanting to see what Ziggler's going to do instead of just what he's been doing for a while now, which is losing. And still thinking he's a show-off.
Well, but, you don't show off by losing, even if you look good doing it. You know, I mean, it was such an ironic name. And the whole persona of Dolph Ziggler was as oblivious as wearing stonewashed jeans or a stonewashed jean jacket. I mean, there's just, I think fans have kind of picked up on the idea that, yeah, we're going to get a good match when we see him. But the guy's not as self-aware as most people in their mid-30s are. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't think there's a real big nostalgia for that fashion statement. And the just bursting out and yelling as his way of emoting is kind of grating. I don't know. I think he has more in him. I think he can be produced a lot better. But he's been kind of prickly about being overproduced in the past and just kind of wanting to be himself. But I think the more slack they give him to be himself, the more harm he actually does to his gimmick. I mean, I really think he needs a writer on that WWE creative team to just who he trusts to pull him aside and go, all right, you know, and really Vince, somebody with authority needs to actually do it and just go, we have a vision for you. You're really talented. We need to make some money with you. We need to take the reins and we need you on board, because what he's doing just isn't working unless it is building up to a heel turn next month, in which case I guess they're laying the groundwork pretty well for it, Kerry.
Yeah. It's just getting stale at this point.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I actually had two more things.
Sure.
Yeah, two more things. You said there wasn't a lot of newsworthy stuff coming out of SmackDown tonight, but there was. Apollo Crews talked on the mic. I mean, granted, it was spelling his name and saying three sentences, but he didn't do all that bad, and at least they finally gave him a mic. Granted, it was, 10 seconds, but hopefully they can maybe continue that, and we can maybe get to know Apollo Crews a little bit more.
I agree. I thought it was encouraging.
And,
yes, he lost, but losing to AJ Styles, no shame in that. He got in some offense. The announcers talked him up. He got some mic time, and people got to know him a little bit better. So, I mean, I think he moved up a notch or two, even in losing to Styles, in terms of, I think, fan perception and the idea that they're investing in him. I think that they needlessly set him back into the mid-card and defined him down at a time when they could least afford it with a roster split. Now they have to rebuild him. And I think tonight was a step in that direction, even in losing to Styles. He looked like he belonged in the ring with him, and that's a good step.
Kerry, before
I forget, I got to say that I enjoyed David Otunga saying that he can relate to Apollo Crews, because Apollo Crews worked years on the indies and not wanting to feel disrespected. And I was like, how does that relate to David Otunga? You know, he was trying to, you know, connect with Apollo Crews sitting at the announce table in premature retirement and talking about that. I thought that was just kind of a weird moment. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, Otunga can be a little cringy a couple times a night, that's for sure. But my last thing is, now the AJ-Dean feud, I'm obviously a Dean fan, but everybody going into it is really expecting AJ to win. Like it, and I would see that as a good move for the WWE and SmackDown. But let's say Dean wins. Do you see any positives if Dean comes out on top in Backlash?
Well, I mean, I guess my pause shows that I'd be a little bit, it'd be a struggle. But I think anytime you just look at simply somebody winning or losing as the defining aspect of whether something is good or bad, it doesn't take into account what story they tell. I mean, it depends on how the loss is framed and what it does to propel the feud or the wrestlers forward and how the announcers talk about it. I think Dean is better off in a number two babyface spot, in a more of a Roddy Piper role than a lead babyface. I don't think he's a good face of the brand. I think AJ Styles can be. I thought he was good strutting his way through the having that swagger, walking backstage, mouthing off to people, and then getting in the ring. I think he held court well, even though he got interrupted quickly. I think that he held court well and looked like a big star. He's got a swagger to him right now that I think should lead to him winning, and I think he will, if not the first match, maybe a rematch, but I think they should just do it right away. If Dean wins, but there's a good story to it and it leads to a rematch, then, I mean, that can work too, but I really think ultimately this fall, AJ's has got to be the number one, the champion and clear face of the brand leading into John Cena's eventual return.
Yeah, so you see them just going with AJ as champ and then Dean, Randy, John, people like that chasing for the title.
Yeah, I think AJ's so good. It's the obvious thing to do. AJ's just, he's the class of the company right now. His mic work as a heel is not a weakness anymore. You know, if it was a weakness as a babyface, and I think that was overplayed, I think that it's not a weakness anymore. He's good enough on the microphone, and I don't mind that he isn't going to do the Seth Rollins 12-minute promos, because I think anybody is going to be overexposed doing those.
Yeah. And I can see him easily holding it all the way into WrestleMania season, to be honest. I mean, he piques my interest for sure.
Yes.
I really enjoy watching him.
I agree. All right, Kerry. Appreciate the call. Good conversation.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Yep. Hope to hear from you again. All right. Haven't heard back from Pat McNeil. Clearly, there were some issues with his phone connection. So hopefully, Pat can call back in and join us. If not, we'll continue to take your calls. I will. I keep saying we, but if Pat's not here, it'll be I taking your phone calls. And we'll jump back onto the phone banks here and go to area code 630. 630, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, how you doing? This is Craig from Chicago. Soon to be home of the world champion Chicago Cubs in 2016. Yeah.
Hey, it might be division champs in the NFL if players keep dropping. They might go from last to first.
Yeah, well, you know, tough break for Bridgewater today. I mean, that guy was coming into his own. I thought he really had a shot this year to move it up, but what it is, you know.
I know, yeah. You I don't know if he changed it, if he changed it after the injury or if this was already there. But on his Twitter page, I noticed that he has a little motto that says, "Blessings are delayed but never denied." I thought that was kind of poignant, given what happened to him. I doubt that he came out of surgery or out of the MRIs and all that and decided to change his Twitter profile. So if that's his approach to things, that'll probably serve him well.
Well, he'll be good. I mean, Tom Brady tore his ACL and he came back fine, so Bridgewater will be all right.
Yeah, the news
is young, so.
Not, I don't want to overdo the NFL talk, but for people who – it is a big story right now in the NFL. It's a big story, biggest story in sports, Super Bowl – you know, in a small group of favorites to go to the Super Bowl this year, to have your starting young 30-year quarterback go down is big news. And they did say in the local report that he is expected to make a full recovery. And that's a big statement to make with a knee dislocation and torn ACL and to miss 9 to 12 months. To say he's expected to make a full recovery is pretty good. And a lot of players have come back from bad injuries. So, I mean, boy, this would have been the end of a career, you know, 25 years ago or 30 years ago in the NFL. So it's same with Seth Rollins and what happened to him. I mean, there's just there are things that happen. I mean, look at what the visual of Seth Rollins and what happened to him, and he came back. So, you know, we just kind of hope that's the case. All NFL fans, I would hope, because Teddy's one of the good guys, too, would hope that he makes a full comeback.
Right. But wait, I got to say, right now, for whatever reason, I am just not feeling this brand split. I don't know who the top guy in the industry is right now. Well, and I shouldn't say the industry, in the WWE. I mean, who is the one that would be the champion, you know?
Well,
you got this universal title on Raw.
Yeah.
You know,
well, let me bring Pat into this, because I think your question, Craig, ties into what happened last night on Raw. We haven't really got into that yet, but I think this question brings them both together. Pat, if the rosters were not split, Pat McNeil's back now. If the rosters had not been split, the top guys would include AJ Styles, probably not Dean Ambrose over the long run, but AJ would be in that mix for the next couple of years. But obviously, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, John Cena part-time, and Kevin Owens? I mean, if you're looking for who is the top guy, I don't think people would say Kevin Owens is the face of the company, even if the rosters weren't split. I think we'd still kind of have a bit of a challenge with the injuries and Cena being part-time. It wouldn't be obvious who the top face is with Roman Reigns not catching fire. If Seth Rollins goes babyface, I guess my answer to Craig, Pat, would be that Seth will end up coming out of the next 6 months as the central figure in this company. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the easy answer to the question of who's the top champion is we found that out last night. The top champion in WWE is Triple H. I mean, because he came to the ring, beat up Seth Rollins and beat up Roman Reigns, and gave Kevin Owens the title.
True. Hey, Pat, you sound very muffled. I'm not sure if there's anything you can do about that, but you sound like...
I'm on a cell phone. Sorry.
Yeah, I've never heard a cell phone sound this muffled, but we'll do our best if there's no adjustment you can make.
I'm trying to be quiet.
That's coming through. Craig, if the rosters were combined... then it would be I think we'd still be in the same position we're in now. I think the issue is they just need to shift, as we talked about with the last caller, they just need to shift to SmackDown being the AJ Styles brand and then not lose. And if they turn Dolph Ziggler heel and they successfully elevate Apollo Crews, then, you know, I mean, and I don't mean elevate Apollo Crews to main event, but stop foregoing opportunities and defining people down and instead figure out a way to protect people and build them up. That's part of the process, but the roster depth on SmackDown does feel weak on a show that doesn't include John Cena. Pat, I don't know that Raw could have, that it's so lopsided with Raw that they could afford to lose one of the top guys right now, though, had one of the top guys been drafted to SmackDown instead.
Yeah, that's, they feel kind of thin there. I mean, the whole point of doing a brand split is that, you know, by definition, you have to elevate guys because you can't have the same people headlining both shows. Somebody has to be moved up. And, they obviously decided on Raw that it's time to move Kevin Owens up and I guess move Seth Rollins across. I don't think that they're faced with that decision right now over on the SmackDown side. I mean, I heard what you're saying about Dean Ambrose earlier, and I think Dean Ambrose is the number two babyface in the company on SmackDown because when John Cena is not there.
Right.
And some would argue that he's the number two babyface right now with Randy Orton there.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, but it's not what you want for you from your WWE champion with Bowling Ribs going back, blah, 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 down, you know, back 50 years or whatever.
Craig, we forgot about Kane. Kane's back, so he's obviously the face of the brand.
Yeah, he's always been there. But I guess what I'm really getting at is you have the WWE World Championship, and that's always been the title in WWE. I saw people saying last night Kevin Owens won his first World Championship. Did they just downgrade the WWE Championship, basically? I mean, it just seems like they've downgraded it because I can't buy this Universal title as the top title or even a – it just feels like a secondary title to me.
I don't think it helps at all to have Kevin Owens win this championship, which has no legacy. Stephanie McMahon seemed to – I don't know if it was intentional or accidental – just wrote, scratched off of the history books, Finn Balor as the first Universal Champion on two occasions, which makes me think it wasn't an accident, but maybe her mind was elsewhere. She indicated that this was going to be the crowning of the first Universal Champion. And to have the first champion crowned under truly ludicrous circumstances. I mean, if you're going to pretend within the narrative structure of a pro wrestling show that the belt represents the best wrestler in the company, you are not, they say in USC, you're not a champion until you defend a title. I would say that, you know, in WWE, you're not a champion until Triple H doesn't basically hand you a title. I mean, Kevin Owens has to go out there and show he's champion. And right now, the way this story has played out, Kevin Owens has one of the weakest beginnings to a title reign short of Eric Bischoff handing Triple H a gold belt. And I think that hurts Kevin Owens, that he didn't earn it in a big showcase type of way. The storyline was deemed more important than having that belt, which has no lineage, no history, no prestige to it, to have a belt go around Kevin Owens' waist that way, unless that's going to be what is a lightning rod for the Heat. I'm with you, Craig. There's too many belts, and now you got Kevin Owens on Raw as holding the number one belt, winning it in a way that just has no credibility. And so it's going to take some rebuilding. I mean, having Dean Ambrose as champion on one brand, I don't think is great. And I think Kevin Owens on Raw can be really good, but not the way that he won it. So we got a journey that we have to go on in order for both of those belts. There's just too many belts, too. You know, I mean, having two singles belts on each show is too much. And so, yeah, it's a transition period. I mean, Raw had an encouraging rating last night, the rating up a little bit from the week before, the day after SummerSlam, doing a 2.38 rating. They did a 2.34 rating last week. So up a tad. I think that's encouraging for WWE.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the WWE world title, the one that Dean Ambrose is holding right now, as far as I'm concerned, that is the championship that everybody should strive to have.
Yeah.
This Universal, I just don't buy it, and I'll never buy it. It's nothing to me. It's just like a United States or a TV championship, you know. If it was me and they told me, oh, you're going to be the next Universal Champion, I'd be like, well, I'd rather be the WWE World Champion, you know?
Yeah.
But it is what it is, you know?
Yeah. All right, Craig, appreciate the call. We'll get to some other callers here. We'll hope to hear from you later in the week or next week. Let's jump to 951 next. 951, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Scott Wayne, it's Mike B. from South. How's it going, Pat? Guys, boy, was SmackDown Live on like Donkey Kong tonight, guys. it was amazing. I absolutely love the reference during the show, and as you tweeted back, yeah, I was in on Marl, and then I was out on Marl within like a matter of minutes, but that's okay. I have something that kind of bugs me, Wade. Maybe you can shed some light. I was kind of ticking down the potential matches for Backlash and Clash of Champions. Why is Lesnar ordered at the Clash of Champions instead of Backlash? They're deliberately just skipping Backlash. And as far as I can tell, the way the cards are kind of shaking out, Backlash could have really used the match, right? I mean, I'm not mistaken there.
Pat, go ahead and take that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's put it this way. WWE is still built around one pay-per-view a month. However, since they're doing the brand split, they've decided that it's okay to have, a secondary show every month, or 7 months out of the year. And this month, the secondary show is Backlash, which is going to be built around, which is going to be built around basically two main-level matches. So, I mean, it's a pay-per-view, yes, but it's not, it's a secondary pay-per-view, it's a B-show. And this course, B does not stand for Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, yeah. Mike, you were going to say?
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it, I guess. It just, when I'm looking at the cards, you're going to get AJ and Dean, and I don't really, I mean, you're going to have a tag team title match that's probably right, going to be Heath and Rhino versus American Alpha. You're probably going to, I mean, you're going to have two titles which have never been, I mean, you're crowning two new championships, I don't know. It just, we want the brand split to be even, they want to play it up as even, and then secondary pay-per-view or not, it's just kind of befuddling to me when I just feel like SmackDown's Backlash could really, really, really use that match. Like, really use that match.
SmackDown's going to be weak. SmackDown's pay-per-views without John Cena are going to be rough. The top matches that you can come up with. I mean, I think there'll be an okay show. But it's going to expose in a three-hour format the undercard especially. I mean, Randy Orton. Randy Orton against... Bray Wyatt, Dolph Ziggler against Miz, and Dean Ambrose against AJ Styles. I mean, it's not that bad of a top three. And then tag team title match, women's title situation, and I don't know. I mean, it's not real deep, and I think that'll get exposed a bit. And that's where building up Apollo Crews and I mean filling the undercard with Rhino and the Headbangers and Kane, for that matter, isn't going to add excitement. And Pat, you remember the first roster split and some of those brand-specific pay-per-views. And, I mean, 10, 11 years ago, you know, they were exposed early on. And it took a while. I don't know. It didn't take long for the fans to realize that these pay-per-views were not all-star extravaganzas. And it's just something that I hope WWE is cognizant of and being very smart and wise in trying to build up undercard matches that seem to matter. But, you know, it's going to be rough. I mean, American Alpha can help add to that undercard, but they weren't on tonight. They didn't do anything to make them seem like stars tonight. And not that you should be overexposing them, but I don't know that if they're going to be a key that you want them off a TV show for, you know, you want a two-week stretch where fans don't see them. They're a new act. They got to do something with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's only a two-hour show, but you make a strong point there. But the problem is when you go back to the first brand split, you actually had more depth at the start on both Raw and SmackDown, and Raw and SmackDown were both considered even and that they both had 2 hours. I mean, it's kind of obvious this is not an even brand split. You know, as much as I'm sure they want the USA Network and NBC to believe that it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're gonna get some undercard matches that aren't that good. But WWE has never believed that they make money off of undercard matches. They think that people buy shares for the top two or three, not one or two or three matches.
Well, I would say in this WWE Network era, they might be safer in that regard. Because fans don't feel like they have to pay $35, $40, $45, $55 and expect 3 hours of entertainment. You know, I mean, I think fans are willing to tune in to a pay-per-view after the fact, or just tune in for the last hour, see the big matches, or the last hour or two, and then maybe go back and watch an undercard match if there's a buzz about it, or fast forward through it. That undercard depth might not matter as much. Obviously, a strong undercard is better than not having a strong undercard. But I don't know that it's as vital as it was when people were paying a premium price for the entire 3-hour show. Mike, anything else for us?
No, I just wanted to say that I missed Eva Marie's reason for not wrestling this week. And lastly, Wade, feel free to mix any type of other sport conversation into the live cast, because to me, wrestling is a sport and not entertainment. So you guys have a great night and a great show. Thanks for taking my call tonight, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Yep. Pat, I just do want to note the muffled sound is rough.
I'm talking in a normal voice, so.
Yeah, I'm just saying
that. Is there anything I can do?
I'm not sure. Yeah. It doesn't sound like you're just talking straight into a mic. So I don't know if you can call back on the other line and give that a try again or what's going on with the cell phone.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay, we'll give that a try.
Okay.
All right. In the meantime, let's go to our second break of the program. And don't forget, if you're a fan of this show, you should also be checking out pwtorch.com every day. My in-depth Raw report is up. Last night, I covered Raw while James was in Houston in person, covering Raw with a live perspective. I did an in-depth report on the TV show. You can check that out at pwtorch.com. Here's some more details on our website, updated every day with news, editorials, live event coverage, and more. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. Don't forget, you can support PW Torch and the PW Torch livecast by shopping at Amazon, by stopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon first. Just go to pwtorch.com/Amazon and click on the US or UK link. You'll jump right to the Amazon homepage, shop away as you were going to anyway, but we get a commission on everything that you purchase on that shopping trip. You can also bookmark that page once you click on the link at pwtorch.com/Amazon and use that link for future shopping trips. And it's kind of like throwing a few quarters, a few bucks in the tip jar for us at the coffee shop, except you're doing it while shopping Amazon and showing some support for what we do here. We appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. I am Wade Keller, joined by Pat McNeil for this episode of the post-SmackDown PW Torch livecast. We're taking your calls and getting your thoughts on the show. Pat McNeil is back on his original connection. Pat, don't hear background noise, so that's good news, and we will continue to march through phone calls. Up next is...
Okay.
Yep, so you sound great. Now you sound normal. Well, you know, as normal as you sound, Pat. As normal as anybody sounds.
Thank you, Wade.
Yes, you're welcome. I couldn't resist. All right, 801. Where is it? If I scroll down, can I find a rim shot, I assume, on the...
Wednesday. Just look under Wednesday. It'll be there.
Let's see. Does this count?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nope, that's not...
Go up. No, you're getting there. It'll say rim shot. Anyway, maybe we should take calls while you're looking at that.
All right. Here we go. 801, you're up. Thanks, for 801. What have you got? First, state your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, this is Derek from Utah.
Hey, Derek. Good to hear from you. What do you got?
Hello, Derek.
Yeah, just Kevin Owens' title win yesterday. I kind of have to disagree with you guys for two reasons. First, I don't think it's wrong for a heel to win by unscrupulous means like he did last night. And I think we have to remember that Kevin Owens is a heel. And a heel winning a championship is always going to be different than a babyface winning the championship. So winning with the help of Triple H, I thought, well, probably not the optimum way I would do it if I was the powers that be, and I never will be. But him winning in a cheap fashion, that's a heel way to win a championship. Second of all,
Derek, let's take it one at a time, if you don't mind. My response to that is this: I think you can take that too far. What you said is true, but I think you can take it too far when the winner of the match, the outcome of the match isn't just a ringside distraction or tripping somebody, but it's literally giving the opponent your finisher and basically dragging you on top of the guy. If for a new championship, for a guy who has not been at the very top before, I think it's a flat, farcical way to become the champion. And I just think that went too far. I think they made it too much about Triple H. Now, when I say too much about Triple H, they made it about Triple H to a degree that undercuts it being a big moment for Kevin Owens. That said, maybe, Pat, they'll turn it into something that ends up making sense and making more money than if Kevin Owens had won a little more, with a little bit more credit going to him, even if he got a slight unfair advantage. I mean, this is like, it's one thing to deflate a ball a little bit to try to win a football game. It's another thing to play with twice the number of players than the other team. And there just comes a point where it's beyond ridiculous. And in the context of winning a title, I thought that it was about as ridiculous as it can get in how far they went. Pat, what is your take on that? And then we'll go back to Derek for his feedback.
Well, I understand what Derek's saying here, but, as for Kevin Owens winning a title by unscrupulous means, basically all he did was stand there while Triple H beat up his opponents. And obviously he generated a lot of heel heat, judging by the fans standing up and chanting, "You deserve it," at him for a couple minutes after the show ended. I know what they're doing. I suspect that they're trying to set up for Triple H and Seth Rollins. Maybe next year at WrestleMania, that would make all sorts of sense. But this wasn't really designed to get Kevin Owens over, I don't think.
What do you think is going on with Triple H, Stephanie, Paul Heyman, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Kevin Owens? A lot of people emailing me today, floating theories on Twitter. What did we see last night? And is what happened with Heyman and Stephanie at all related? Because you have the Heyman-Stephanie segment, you have Seth giving Stephanie a hug, you have Hunter giving Seth a pedigree, and then Hunter helping Kevin Owens. Is Kevin Owens a key player in this, or is he just the bystander because Triple H was going after Seth Rollins for something? Where do you think this is headed?
I mean, I think Kevin Owens is going to be a player in this. I suspect that they achieved their main goal, which is, next week they're on against football for the first time, and they're going to be on against football for 15, 16, 17 weeks in a row. So they wanted to have some sort of a hook to get people to tune in next week. You tune in next week, you're going to find out, okay, what's going on? Why did Triple H help Kevin Owens? What's going on? Is Stephanie going to be mad at Triple H because Stephanie was behind Seth Rollins? What's Paul Heyman doing? Where's Brock Lesnar involved? You're going to see all these moving pieces. Evidently they feel that's the way to build interest in one of their shows, instead of saying, oh my goodness, huge match tonight. It's going to be Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. Rollins for the, you know, for the title. You can't miss this, and building that up for 3 hours.
Do you have a sense of if Seth is going to turn babyface here? Is that what's going on? And where does Stephanie fall then relative to Triple H in this? She seems surprised by it.
Well, you know, the logical moves coming out of here, you would think, at least you think the first logical move would be Seth Rollins becoming a babyface. After being screwed out of the title, the fans like him anyway. You know, they didn't seem too awful upset about what happened to Roman Reigns. So yeah, I mean that would, you know, that's logical. You set up maybe Rollins versus Owens, and down the road when it's time for big money, you go after Rollins versus Triple H, which I told that they wanted to do anyway for some time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean I think that's the move. I think you could bring Lesnar back in for this pay-per-view since Lesnar's going to be on the road with them that weekend anyway. And maybe you do, you know, Brock Lesnar versus Kevin Owens, or Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, because, you know, Reigns needs something to do. I mean, there's options here.
Derek, back to you. You can react to what we had to say and also introduce your second point if you want.
And the other reason I think the Kevin Owens title win was successful is I always like to judge things when it happens, how I feel emotionally, and why I think it was a big win for Kevin Owens and a special moment is when he won the championship, his reaction and the crowd's reaction felt real. And I know that you guys kind of talked about it like it's a fluke or it's a joke. And I think in some ways, being a heel is supposed to be a tainted victory. But I'll say, as a fan watching on my couch last night before we settle in on the aftermath and start questioning and second-guessing everything, when that event took place at that moment, from a fan's perspective on the couch, watching his perspective in the ring and the crowd's perspective surrounding him, that felt like a real moment. And in that case, I think it was successful. I mean, there was definitely an energy in that building when that happened,
I think,
that's what you want.
Well, I think there's a big respect for Kevin Owens, you know, and the journey he's been on. And I also think there was relief that it wasn't just going to be Seth winning again with Triple H's help, because it seemed like it was headed that way. And, oh, here we go again, the Authority helping Seth. This is cliched. We've seen this before. Yawn. Or Roman Reigns winning. I mean, I think a big part of it, and no disrespect to Kevin Owens and the respect fans have for him, but I think part of this was just relief that Roman Reigns didn't end up, you know, getting the win as a babyface. And I think fans would have been upset by that at that point. With Big Cass out of the picture, it was going to be one of those three. So part of it was, we saw history. Hooray. We saw Kevin Owens, this guy we really respect, holding a title at the end of Raw. That's great. That might be a changing of the guard. That's all true. But it doesn't change my point that there's to have that level of help to win a title. If you did that, if every heel won a championship that way, titles just cease to mean anything within the narrative structure. I mean, it just becomes ridiculous. And so, again, it's a big storyline. It's Triple H is a legacy character with a lot of history, and I think people are intrigued with where this goes next, and it obviously relates to Stephanie. It's all in the follow-up. But I think it is fair to say that while the crowd popped in relief that it wasn't Seth or Roman and that they love Kevin Owens, it was a different kind of moment than I imagined Kevin Owens imagined winning a championship for the first time. Kevin is great at selling it and being very happy, and I think he should have been. Remember, too, the ultimate goal, Derek, is not for fans to cheer and be happy with Kevin Owens winning. The goal in any story that you tell where there's protagonists and antagonists, the goal is mainly to draw money, but historically, recently and in the past, the biggest money is drawn, with special exceptions, when the right people are positioned to be cheered because the fans actually like them and the story matches that, and the people who fans are willing to boo are booed. And they have a problem if all the fans are cheering Kevin Owens, going against the grain of the story that they're telling, that Triple H screwed Seth, who's perhaps, as Pat said, about to turn babyface. You end up with conflicting emotions. Are fans going to be happy Kevin won? Or are they going to now shift gears and be happy that Seth is a babyface like they've wanted him for a while? It's a bit of a convoluted mess, and it's not about second-guessing. It's about analyzing. And right now I'm analyzing, where do they go from here? And I'm taking a wait-and-see attitude before issuing full judgment. But my reaction after Monday night is I'm a little confused, and I think they have some things to sort out. And we'll see if they've thought it all through and if it works out. I think history shows, Derek, they don't always have that stuff worked out. Sometimes it works out, but there's a history where they're not infallible, and sometimes it doesn't. And that's what we're here to do, is to explore whether there is a direction that they can go where everything falls into place. And I'm just not sure I'm seeing that right now.
May I?
Yes, Pat, please.
Okay, I understand, Derek, what you're saying about, you know, there was a real moment at the end of Raw. But if you've been a WWE fan for the past decade or so, you know, you don't sit there and wait for WWE to create great moments for you to, you know, for you to enjoy, because you're going to be waiting a while. You're basically creating moments for you. You're basically just going to go ahead and create the moment for yourself. And the fans just reacted as if Kevin Owens, you know, they love Kevin Owens. They reacted as if he had won the title cleanly in the middle of the ring, and they were going to enjoy it. And if WWE had a problem with that, they could screw off.
Derek, go ahead. Yep, you can follow up or start your second point. Either way.
And my second point, I guess, is I was really impressed with Baron Corbin tonight. I mean, he wrestled a 15-minute main event, and he did a really good job. And I think that guy has taken a lot of flack when he was just doing, jobber matches at NXT for a while. But I think tonight was the first time I saw him wrestle a match that was as back and forth as that has been. And I think he definitely held his own in a spot that he has not been exposed to a significant degree ever, and he did a great job.
Pat, what'd you think of Baron tonight?
I thought he did well. I mean, I could go back to his match with Austin Aries before he left NXT, and I thought that also, you know, that also came off very well for him. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, not everybody in WWE is going to be a five-star match guy. There are guys who have made careers, and good careers, out of being able to have good matches with good wrestlers, even if perhaps you're not the best wrestler in the world. And I think that they created something with Baron Corbin that, you know, based on the finish, that can be continued over into next week and help set up the pay-per-view, which is probably one of the things they want to do. And they're probably, now that I think about it, also trying to set up Baron Corbin versus Kalisto for this pay-per-view as well.
I hope so, because they certainly invested in that. And,
yeah. You
know, positioning Corbin in a match like this, I think, does elevate him. And I think he does well. I mean, he's not a guy you'd want to build a whole brand around. But I think that he can and will grow as a performer. And I think this is a pretty good spot for him to be in, visiting the main event and looking like he belongs. Even if, like I said, he's not a guy that you're ready to build a brand around. And, yeah, I think, Derek, you make a good point. I mean, a good observation. I think he looked like he belonged out there. And not everybody does when they get into that spot. So I think that's a good thing. Derek, appreciate the calls as always.
Good talking to you guys.
Yep, appreciate it. I always like a little counterpoint of view to bring out some good discussion. Let's go next to – oh, go ahead, Pat. Yeah.
Yeah, just for the record, that would be the point where you'd hit that bye-bye sound effect.
Oh.
I'm just trying to help. Okay, anyway, carry on.
Bye. All right, thanks.
Thank you. All right,
there we go.
That's a good one, too.
Yes. All right, let's go to 540. You're up next, 540. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, it's Michael from Northwest Virginia. How are you guys?
Doing good. Hey. Good to meet Michael. What do you got for us?
Just a couple questions for you. I'll go ahead and hit them all at once, I think. Headbangers tonight, was that a one-off, have you heard, or are they back for good? Second one is, where are they going with Charlotte and her next opponent? With the roster being the way it is and as shallow as it is. And also, I would point out to you, I watched Talking Smack tonight, and Daniel Bryan just nonchalantly dropped those three magical letters that they never say, TNA.
Oh, interesting. So, they're trying to create a buzz. I mean, how do you have a conversation with AJ Styles and not bring up TNA, the letters? I mean, it would just be obvious. But I'm glad you brought that up, Michael. Even if you are two-timing us by listening to that live instead of us. go ahead, Pat. Your thoughts on Charlotte and the Headbangers.
Okay, Headbangers, as far as I know, it's a one-off, but I imagine, like with anything else in WWE, if they have an idea for keeping them around, they'll keep them around. But it's not like there's this big, there's this big outpouring of tag teams. They might decide, hey, if the Headbangers are around, maybe they can fight the Hype Bros at the pay-per-view and have a match where Mojo and Mosh just scream back and forth at each other for 3 minutes, and we'll get our entertainment that way. They might need the Headbangers to put guys over, and I don't think the Headbangers are going to mind. Charlotte, I think it's pretty obvious the direction that they're going is Bayley's going to be the next challenger for Charlotte, and probably they'll do that in a few weeks. Daniel Bryan talking about TNA.
Yeah.
I mean, unless the comment was let's send Miz to TNA, then I think that's a positive.
Very good. All right, let's get another phone call or two here before the end of the hour. Let's go to international call ending with the number 2156. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling us from.
Oh, hi, Wade and Pat. It's Jason calling from Australia. How are you guys going?
Doing great. Good to hear from Australia tonight.
Doing great.
Yeah, just a couple of points I wanted to raise. I've always been a fan of having the two world titles on each show because I believe it gives their team a bit of structure. I just don't believe if they had one floating world champion, I don't trust McMahon and the booking team to evenly spread it across SmackDown. I think SmackDown would get lost. I think that feature on Raw and then SmackDown would become irrelevant. At least with this brand split, SmackDown does have some relevancy. In relation to what happened with Kevin Owens and winning that championship, the thing you got to remember is that I think one of the reasons why the fans booed that title to begin with is Foley came out and actually said it was named after the WWE Universe, which is one of the worst corporate phrases ever. So I think that was at the back of the fans' mind. But I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach with what's happening with Owens and the way he won the title. The problem is, see, if you go back, say, to Survivor Series 98, when The Rock won his first title, he didn't win it clean. He screwed Mick Foley, McMahon won the bell, and that was Rock's first reign. The difference being you had a sympathetic babyface in Mankind and you had a red-hot babyface in Stone Cold who was there to chase The Rock. Who do we have now that is a sympathetic babyface on Raw or a red-hot babyface? The problem that I see is that we've got universally respected heels across both brands who are getting the cheers from the crowd. I just don't see that sympathetic or red-hot babyface. The other point on SmackDown that I see is if AJ Styles was to win the world title, who's the next babyface to challenge him? I don't really see anyone. The only one I can think of is Randy Orton, which means he has to come out of his feud with Bray Wyatt winning, but then can Bray Wyatt afford to lose another feud? So I see a few problems there, but in relation to what the other caller said in regards to Baron Corbin, what I love about Baron Corbin is that he's a heel. He's not looking to get cheered, so I think he's going to start at the top of the card purely for that reason. So I know I threw a few points there, but I just want to get your thoughts on them.
Sure, yeah. Pat, go ahead and take what you want from there, and then I'll add in my...
Well, Jason's last point was the point I liked best. I mean, Baron Corbin is a heel who's there to act like a jerk. He's not there to sell T-shirts or to move merchandise or to get fans to tweet about how funny he is. And that's a good point. I think that is going to serve Corbin well going forward. I think if he keeps performing like this, he's going to make a mark, and he can be something that can utilize pretty well. I think if you have two world titles, one is always going to be seen as being bigger than the other, and that's him. And I don't know that this is the... I mean, I thought that they did a better job of launching the Universal title at SummerSlam when they had, when they had a tournament and they had two top guys fighting for it, as opposed to, I guess, what happened with the Fatal 4-Way match where Triple H ran in and beat up two of the guys.
60 seconds.
That's where I'm going with that.
All right, very good. We're down to less than a minute here, so let's try to sneak in one more call. Let's go to, I believe, New York City, 718. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, guys, this is Dan from Brooklyn. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing good, Dan. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thank you guys for the dedication to the business. Really appreciate all your great work. Just a couple of quick points. First, I would love to get your take on the brand split. I know it's a bit too early to consider it a bust or a failure, but Raw still feels too long. SmackDown still feels like the B show. The women's division doesn't feel strong enough. The tag division...
10 seconds.
What are your thoughts on have they repeated every mistake they made the first time around with the brand split?
Pat, I'll throw to you on that one. Good topic. I feel it's a little premature to judge, but certainly we can evaluate on our way. Where are you leaning right now, Pat?
They haven't repeated every mistake they made with the first brand split because they have SmackDown Live as well, so they have two live shows. So they don't have one that feels more live than the other. And Raw is still going to be too long. It's going to be too long. I can't imagine a scenario where it doesn't feel too long. Three-hour Nitro has always felt too long. That's fine. And SmackDown... It's going to feel like the B show, except that guys like Styles and Ambrose and Randy Orton are going to feel like big deals because they are, and maybe they can get a few other guys up to that level.
Yeah, I think the roster split should be seen as a long-term project, and the goal shouldn't be that immediately each show feels stronger, because I think that would not be something they realistically thought could happen. And I don't think the lack of each show feeling strong should be an indication that it's a failure. What we want to see is progress. We want to see that wrestlers who would not be given an opportunity to become stars are given opportunities that they would not otherwise be receiving, and that they're protecting talent, and that they're adding some depth from developmental and from the free agent scene. I'm not sure that Rhino and the Headbangers were on the table as reasons as the best way that SmackDown would add depth to fill 2 hours. And the women's division, yeah, it's thin, you know, and that's been a problem, splitting the women's division. I think that it's just not fair to make any big, broad judgments about it being a failure yet because, well, for one, there's conflicting evidence. I mean, Raw rating, holding up. I'm not sure I would expect the rating to be any higher than it is. And the SmackDown rating being live on Tuesdays is higher than it had been. And there's this intangible benefit. We're not seeing Kevin Owens tonight follow up on what he did last night with Triple H. We're not seeing AJ Styles by the time we see him on Tuesday feeling like we already saw him talk yesterday. There's even if the roster feels thinner and we get stuck with a Headbanger match or a Milkman Milliman skit with Kane, we are not by the time we watch Raw, 2 million of those 3 million viewers are not burned out because they saw everybody two times the previous week. Absence is making the heart grow fonder. Yes, Raw still feels too long, but at least when it airs on Monday, we weren't given 5 hours and two matches and two segments with each of the top stars. And that over time is going to pay dividends. And that over time is going to force WWE's hand to build other stars. And they don't have that option anymore to put Randy out there twice, to put Kevin Owens in matches twice. Too many wrestlers, like Dean Ambrose said to Steve Austin, too many times, he was pro-roster split for the reasons that I am, or the main reasons I am, which is, as Dean said, they put us out there too much. They burned out matches. And I think that's an intangible that over time is going to pay dividends, and it's why I'm absolutely still a believer that this was the right move. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be some negatives. I just think in the aggregate, over time, all things considered, the positives will outweigh the inherent unavoidable negatives, mitigatable negatives if they do their job, but inevitably they're going to be there, and they need to work hard to mitigate them. But I think it's way too early to go back to all the negatives that come along with combining the rosters. And there's a lot of negatives that come along with combining the rosters, too. Pat?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right, very good. We got to wrap up on that note. I thank everybody for joining us here on the SmackDown postgame show. Pat, anything special in store for VIP members on The Real Deal this week?
We do have a nice surprise for people when The Real Deal gets posted tomorrow night, and hopefully, and James Caldwell will be with me, and we'll have some fun, and we'll have a special guest, and trust me, I think you'll be pleased.
Excellent. Well, look forward to that. If you are not a VIP member, we're about to tell you how to become a VIP member. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today on the SmackDown postgame show. If you missed it and want to hear our thoughts on Raw, you can join me and Greg Parks and James Caldwell on the Raw Post Game Show. It is yesterday's program. I appreciate the callers who called in today, and I apologize to those we did not get to. You can call Jim Valley and me tomorrow at 1 Eastern, and then Matt McCarthy, ex-WWE creative team member, professional stand-up comedian, host of the We Watch Wrestling podcast, and a frequent live cast guest, always a good time with him on Thursdays, on Interview Thursday. That's what's left for me the rest of the week, and then prime time, 7 Eastern on Friday, Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant reunited for the live cast on Friday. And then Saturday, it's Saturday Morning Wrestling with Jim Valley. This is Wade Keller. Thanks, everybody. And if you're not a VIP member, here is my pitch to convince you to give us a try. Here we go. Thanks, everybody. If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the every single day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. Thanks, everybody, for that. I hope you will give us a try. And go VIP. You can read testimonials from current members over at pwtorch.com/govip. I am about to go record the Wade Keller Hotline, recapping SmackDown start to finish. I definitely have some thoughts on big items and small items on tonight's episode that I'll get to in a chronological full analysis, start to finish of SmackDown. I do that on Monday nights after the Monday Night Raw live cast. I do a full rundown of Raw, and also throughout the week, I do the Wade Keller Hotline every single day. I cover the news, results, and also answer VIP member questions, which is a very popular format for the Wade Keller Hotline. That's just one of many, many VIP features. Go check out details, as noted in the last commercial, at pwtorch.com/govip. Thank you, everybody. Go check out mmatorch.com for the latest on CM Punk, and bookmark that site and keep a tab open on your phone and refresh it every day. News every day on mmatorch.com on CM Punk headed into his fight a week from Saturday. And then we'll have all kinds of fallout on it also. But a big story up today on some new footage of CM Punk and how people are reacting to it. Go check that out when you get a chance, like maybe right now. That'll do it for me for today. Look forward to talking to Jim Valley and all of you tomorrow. And then, as I said, Matt McCarthy is my guest on the Interview Thursday episode of the program. So join us then. The PW Torch livecast is on 6 days a week, and we hope you join us for all six of those days. And subscribe on popular podcast apps like iTunes, Beyond Pod, Downcast, and many others, Stitcher, and many others. If you want to stream the show, you can access us at pwtorchlivecast.com. That is our homepage. And you can also stream us on your mobile phone at pwtorchlivecast.com. It is a mobile-friendly site that might work better for you also. Until next time, Wade Keller thanking my co-host Pat McNeil and signing off for today. Yeah.
Yeah.